Today's scripture is a part of the story of Noah and the great flood, recorded in the book of Genesis from chapter 6 through chapter 10. This is one of the most famous Bible stories. If you attended Sunday school as a child, you might remember the story with an image of a big boat filled with all kinds of animals. Of course, they all look so cute. Even tigers and lions and foxes and wolves, they all seem to get along. But this well-known, seemingly beautiful story of Noah and the Great Flood is actually a terrible story to teach our children when you think about all those people who perished in the rising waters. In fact, the story generates many questions for those who read it with a critical eye. And here are a few of those questions. How could Noah build an ark that could hold all the animals, even if that was just pairs of each kind? Where did Noah get enough food to feed not only his own family, but also all the animals on the ark for several, not weeks, but several months? Did God really send the flood to wipe out the whole human race and all the living creatures except those people and animals on the ark? Why are there so many different races in the world now if we all came from one family of Noah after the great flood? How do we reconcile the flood story in the Bible with other flood stories that are found in other ancient cultures? If we examine these questions through the lens of common sense, we may come to the conclusion that Noah's story was not written necessarily to give us an account of a historical event, but to teach us deeper truth. Something about God, something about God's creation, something about us, and something about God's will for our lives. Then what are those deeper truths hidden in the story? In the beginning of the flood story, there is a part that is very moving and sets the foundation for the rest of the story. You might want to actually take out, if you are willing, take out the Pew Bible and turn to Genesis. We do not have a copy for each person, so you might just try to pick it up, take out quickly. So turn to Book of Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. You can find that scripture, or just you can just listen to this as I read for you. The Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. Verse 6 is a profound statement about the relationship between us human beings and God. Because human beings became evil in their thoughts and actions, God was grieving. God was brokenhearted. God was heartbroken. The New International Version says, God's heart was filled with pain. We forget this But God is affected by how we think, how we behave. As the prophet Zephaniah said, God takes great delight in us when there is peace in our lives, when we are glad and sing with joy. God too rejoices over us with the singing. And as the prophets Jeremiah and Hosea said, when our sins hurt others and ourselves, God hurts too. Yes, we can make God glad and we can make God sad. We affect God's emotions. Isn't it fascinating? And then comes another profound statement about the relationship between us and God. In chapter 9, verse 11, God says, I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And this promise is repeated in the rest of God's covenant-making speech. Nowhere in today's scripture do we find our responsibilities that the covenant binds us to. God entered into this covenant, into an eternal covenant with all creation without requiring anything in return. Yet in other places in the Bible, we can find God's clear mandates for us to care for God's creation. The first mandate is found in the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. God created us in God's image and entrusted us as stewards with all the living creatures on the earth. Caring for God's creation is our privilege and also our responsibility. Unfortunately, we have not lived up to the role we were created to have over the earth. We have destroyed and continue to exploit many areas of the earth to suit our own needs. Today, all across the world, people are facing many new and challenging environmental problems daily. And here are the top 10 environmental issues according to the website Schooled by Science. First, as you might guess, climate change, mainly caused by greenhouse gases. Global temperatures are rising. Ice caps are melting, and droughts and wildfires and super hurricanes are increasing throughout the world. Actually, at this very moment, a big hurricane is, our country is facing, the southern part of our country is facing, soon will face the hurricane Dorian. And as I was back in Korea, the first time in 28 years during the summer, I've noticed, oh my goodness, it was so hot and warm. And people said, yes, the summer season in South Korea has become like a tropical weather. It was never like that before. Two, ecosystems and endangered species. The endangered species list continues to grow as ecosystems continue to decrease. By 2050, one out of 10 plants and animal species is expected to go extinct. Deforestation. More than 70% of the planet's plant and animal species live in forests. But as we continue to cut down trees for our own needs, for lumber and land, by 2030, we may have only 10% of the world's rainforests left. Pollution. All types of pollution
are affecting one another and causing other environmental issues. Water scarcity and water pollution. 780 million people around the world have no access to clean water, while water pollution continues to be a serious threat to public health. And that is, this problem is not only the problem of the developing countries. Those problems, we already know those happen in our own country too. Loss of biodiversity. Biodiversity, or the variety of life in the world, has declined 27% in the last 3 decades due to various threats, including urban sprawl, deforestation, and climate change. Overpopulation. The world's population is expected to reach 9.7 billion by 2050, 11.2 billion by 2100. But scientists say the maximum number of people our planet can support is only 10 billion people. Waste disposal. The trash that ends up in environmental habitats and the ocean is a serious threat to nature as well as to human beings. Land management and urban sprawl. Covering the landscape with concrete through urban sprawl interrupts the natural water cycle, preventing rainwater from soaking into the ground, therefore causing catastrophic floods. 10, public health. According to the WHO, World Health Organization, nearly 1 out of 4 deaths each year are directly caused by unhealthy environments. So these environmental issues are daunting, truly daunting. As we have seen in recent years, they make us vulnerable to natural disasters and tragedies now and in the future. If we do not get serious about the environmental problems of today, there will be no future for us to consider. We do not have the excuse of not knowing. We have plenty of warning signs. Taking care of the earth is no longer just an option, but a necessity. So I invite our church family to respond to God's call to care for the earth, God's creation, to take responsibility for our actions as individuals and as the church, to go green in many different ways. Actually, when you hear going green, you might think, oh, I have to give up my convenient lifestyle. Actually, going green is easier than you think. And I'm going to give you some simple things you can do to save the earth. Probably you are already doing some of these. Maybe some of these might not sound appealing to you, but just I want you to hear these things, and then I invite you to take these things for your consideration. First, water usage. Turn off water while you brush your teeth. Some people aren't feeling guilty. consider turning off. Actually, my grandson, 7-year-old grandson, he got the message from his teacher. So whenever I open the faucet, it doesn't take for even 3 seconds. He said, "Grandma, turn off." Consider turning off the water Okay, while you soap your body during the shower, switch from bath to shower and shorten your shower time. Do not pre-rinse the dishes when you use the dishwasher. When you do laundry, do not wash half loads, but wait until you have enough dirty clothes to do a full load. 2, energy usage. Turn off lights when you are not in the room. Turn off your computer overnight. Unplug appliances when you are not using them. Use energy-efficient light bulbs. If you can, dry your washed clothes naturally instead of using the dryer. Adjust the temperature in your home. 3, paper usage. Go paperless if possible. Print only what you have to. Print on both sides of the paper and use all, when you use the paper, do not just use a corner of the paper and then throw away, but use all of the paper, both sides. I remember my mother always used this empty place in the newspaper to practice the writing Chinese letters. It was fascinating to go and see my mother's house and then this newspaper filled with all her handwriting of Chinese letters. Do not waste napkins. When we go to restaurants, especially when we go to fast food restaurants, you pick up the boom, several napkins, and then use one or two and then just throw away. Stop doing that. Do not waste napkins. Just take only one or two or whatever amount you really will use. Register to stop junk mail. There are several different ways you can stop them. Reduce the amount of waste by recycling. Recycle as much as possible, especially empty plastic water bottles and soda cans. Save empty, especially, I'm going to tell you, well, to our church family, save empty plastic water bottles at home, or even ask your neighbors and soda cans and bring them to the church to help our youth with their fundraising effort for their annual SSP trip. Please do not put trash, especially food waste, into the recycling bin. Empty your bottles or cans before putting them into the recycling bin. You might have seen me digging into the garbage cans of our church inside or outside to find empty plastic water bottles or soda cans. I do that to recycle them, and I do that to help our youth. I hope that will be a day when I do not have to do that, because no one will just throw empty water bottles or soda cans into the garbage can. Carry a reusable water bottle or a traveling mug with you. Compost your food waste if you can. Walk or ride a bike as much as possible instead of driving. So there are many, many, many other ways you can do to save the earth. This is just a list of just few things you can do. I thought we all can do, easily do. And I invite you to put these suggestions that you can easily implement into action. And always remember these three words as you make an effort to go green. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Can we say those three words together? Reduce, reuse, recycle. Of course, changing our behaviors to live a green lifestyle, to be environmentally responsible, is not that easy. Changing habits won't happen overnight. But that is not impossible either. I'm sure we can do it together. We all can be green Christians, and we can be a green church by taking small steps and with God's help. We can live into our role as caretakers of God's beautiful creation. Amen. Let us pray. Creator God, you have called us into partnership with you for the work of caring for the earth you created. Help us to love and respect it, to care for what you have made good and holy, to repair what we have damaged. Give us the wisdom and passion to change our minds, our hearts, and our ways of living. Let us be mustard seeds in our world, bringing about ecological conversion, which grows and spreads to every corner of the earth. For our sake now and for our future generations. In your holy name we pray. Amen.